never knowing if this is right.
Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld. That is the Song of Soul by Chris Williamson. And this program is really dedicated to the Song of the Soul. It is New Realities, and it's heard every week here on bbsradio.com. Also seen as a television show on Manhattan Neighborhood Network every Monday night at 9 p.m. on Channel 57. That's also MNN.org, and New Realities with Alan Steinfeld is dedicated to evolving human potentials in an evolving world. I, Alan Steinfeld, present programs that invites the listener to look at their automatic behaviors, take free reign of their body, mind, and spirit so that we can inhabit and create a better reality. And this program is constantly on the lookout for new and different perspectives in achieving a greater and more peaceful planet. It's about embracing a synthesis of rational understanding with mystical awareness. So upcoming on the show is someone who very much embodies those potentials of becoming more conscious, becoming a more awakened human being, more in touch with the divine essence, and we are actually moving into a time where that essence is becoming more alive, more apparent, more actual. The true human being is awakening on the planet to who we really are, to what we really are. And part of that is creating a new way of looking at the human being and looking at our planet, our understanding of the planet. And someone I've interviewed in the past named Bruce Lipton really combines those different levels in a biological understanding. What Lipton has said is that in evolution we go from the many to the one, back to the many. So he starts with a single cell. And he actually says a single cell is made up of a group of organelles that were actually other minute cells, but these cells got incorporated into a single cell. So there was a part of individual entities, small microscopic bacteria that became the lungs of a cell and the reproductive system and the digestive system, and they all got incorporated into a single cell. and that became the foundation for life. And those single cells then got together, and they combined with other single cells to start to form multicellular organisms. And those organisms became another singularity. So went from the many to the one, back to the many, and then that multicellular organism became a single entity, a single being. And from that single being, we started to create groups of being, groups of peoples, relationships, families, tribes, cultures, cities, countries. So this is where we're at now. We've gone from the individual, and now we're kind of coalescing into the singularity. I mean, the European Union is a great example of countries that were killing each other probably less than 60 years ago. I mean, Germany invaded France, and Spain and England, all at each other's throats, and now they're in a common economic union, which represents a sort of progression of consciousness on the planet. And as more and more of that takes place, as we go from the many to the one, in Bruce Lipton, this evolutionary biologist term, says that we start to form a single organism of the planet Earth. He says the internet is like the nervous system of planet Earth. And so we come back and we form the singularity of this consciousness of the Earth. The Earth itself becomes a unified singularity of form. And that is actually a biological evolution. We, as the different cells of the planet Earth, are coming together in unison once we work out our differences in order to form another singularity, which is actually the Earth itself waking up and becoming conscious of itself. So then the question comes, what is the evolution of that? Where do we go once the Earth itself becomes a singularity? And that is one of the talking about, which is leading into this understanding that the Earth with other planetary civilizations, which is also a key understanding on of what I've been talking about as far as the as far as this show anyway, as far as this show, I've been talking about sexuality, UFOs, and how the whole understanding of that really is coming back together into a unity. So it doesn't matter what form it takes. It means where's our evolution lie. So actually, I'm going to play a little clip from an interview that I did with Bruce Lipton to give you an understanding of what I am talking about. So just stay tuned, and then I'll have my guest Bernie Pryor take us to the next level of understanding. So this is me interviewing Bruce Lipton, evolutionary biologist. And,
before there were multicellular organisms on this planet, there were only single cells. For billions of years, all there were just single cells kind of carrying out their own lives. But what happened was the cells recognized that they could increase their survival by gaining more awareness. Mm-hmm. But awareness was the membrane. So how do you gain? Well, you can either make bigger and bigger cells, or you can take groups of cells, plug them together, and let their membrane share information.
Right, because a membrane will only hold so much, and then it breaks apart.
Right. The keyboard is only so big.
Right. So we hooked up with other cells.
You create a multicellular organism. So right. Amoebas created us.
Okay.
But in reality, mm-hmm. I am a bustling community of 50 trillion amoebas working in a community, sharing jobs and labor. Why? To create a living entity that will survive. Human beings, individual humans, each one of you, each one of us, is a cell in a larger community, co
coming together to share awareness to create one living organism, and it would be called humanity.
Okay.
We are not humans until we create humanity.
Uh-huh.
When we create humanity, which is when we all recognize that we're all cells in the same living organism,
mm-hmm.
and work in a coherent fashion, we have then created the next level of evolution.
Mm-hmm.
The evolution is not on the individual. We already have all the information capacity that we can't even deal with the amount we can deal with.
Right.
But once we come together in community, the synergy of awareness that will be passed from one cell to the next would be the equivalent of taking a single amoeba and comparing that life of that single cell to my human body, which is the community of amoebas.
So is the internet a kind of next step in this?
The internet is a definite evolutionary leap. It is the equivalent of the communication system by which all the cells of my body are coherent. So that we have an ability for all the cells in our new human body, this human organization, humanity, to communicate with each other and share information, which is why the cells came together in the first place.
So where are we going?
The biological evolution is fractal, meaning it has a very basic formula that reiterates itself over and over again. I'll give you an example. The cell of the human, the cell of the amoeba, are essentially the same cell, same structure.
Right.
But then you look at all the diversity of biology and you say, but they're all basically the same cell.
Right.
So the fractal is the cell. And the chaos creates all the different organizations of cells, yet they're all still based on the same fundamental unit. But then the issue is this. The cell, when it got to a big enough community, recapitulated itself in a community called the multicellular organism.
Right.
The human is a cell,
okay,
enlarged as a community. It's, we are a cell.
Okay.
When
a community of cells.
We are a community, yeah, but the human then actually is a reiteration of a cell.
Okay.
Point, very simple. No matter how complex I am as a human, with all the functions that you ascribe to me, that there are no new functions in my human body that are not already present in the same cell. The human is a reiteration of a cell. Everything that I do, a cell already does. I mean, it's logical. How can I do something that a cell can't do? I'm a cellular.
So now the community of humans are...
a multicellular organization which comes together and makes a wholeness. Okay, now but here's the interesting part. It sort of like jumps like bootstrapping and stuff. One cell later becomes a human, which later becomes humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And when humanity is complete, the earth as an organism completes its evolution. It's a living, breathing, pulsing Gaia.
Uh-huh.
It is now complete. When it is complete, when the cell completed its evolution, what was its next level of recourse?
Hook up with other cells.
Right. And when the human completed its evolution, what was it?
To hook up with other humans. Right.
When the earth completes its evolution, we are then at the level of a unity with a voice of unity that allows us to speak as a one, which will allow us to speak with other ones.
Beautiful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wow. That was Bruce H. Lipton talking about fractal evolution, and you could see that clip on YouTube, and just type in Alan Steinfeld or Bruce Lipton, LIPTON, and you have to hear that thing a couple of times to really get where we are at in the evolution of consciousness and biology and psychology. So that's why I sort of did an intro into that, and I think it's really key, that understanding. So, Seth, if you want to bring the guest on for tonight, you can make that call and let me know when he's on the line. I'll be talking to Bernie Pryor, who's taking that understanding, and it's a concept that I'll be actually approaching from many different angles on this show throughout the next couple of weeks, from how we can become more conscious of who we really are and who we are as a part of the earth itself. And Bernie's, what I get from Bernie Pryor is that he talks about us as archetypal forms, embracing the divine as we walk around the planet. So, Seth, do we have Bernie on the phone yet? Hello, Seth. I think Seth from BBS Radio is getting our guest on the phone. And also, if you heard that last line of Bruce Lipton, you can see that life doesn't stop at the edge of this planet, that actually life is probably abundant everywhere in the universe itself. So, I'll be doing shows about that. I just got back from an exopolitics conference in Washington, D.C. Hello?
Hello.
Bernie.
Hi, Alan. Hi.
Hi. You okay? Did you have dinner?
I've had dinner, yes.
Are you okay to talk now?
We are free together.
Okay, great. Good, good. I've just been kind of giving a little intro to who you are and sort of how what you're talking about is part of a phenomena that's happening to the planet itself. I mean, I think your key piece is how do we wake up as these different archetypal patterns, men and women seem to hold a different energetic configuration as embodiments. Would you say that's true?
Well, I will express it differently, Alan.
How would you say it?
I would say what is waking up is consciousness is waking up to its love of truth and realizing that consciousness is now appearing on the earth as man and woman, and that its attraction to each other is its love of the source, its love of the truth. And that's what's changing our reality on this earth.
But you talk about consciousness. How does it have these different forms? You do classify it as different. Now, talk about that. How, if it's consciousness, it's everything, and then you'd make the distinction between man and woman, so it's a little confusing for me where that comes in.
Well, what I'm actually speaking of is, particularly in this tour, is that the attraction of man to woman, the masculine to the feminine, is the attraction to the source within ourselves, which we could call consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the basic attraction, is the pull to be together, to be together in love, to be together in truth. And that when we're together in true polarity, in the love of truth, then what happens in our existence is that we have the total opportunity to express who we are in the myriad ways of our creativity, what we deeply are realizing in ourselves in this love. And then until we realize that, then we're always moving in conditionality as the mind and not as the pure consciousness appearing as masculine and feminine.
But so we are either one or the other. It's obvious there are only really two types of people on planet Earth. And so we are seeking what we're not. Is that the seeking here?
Well, what I'm saying is, I'm
trying to get it because I know I have so much conditioning in the way of what you're really trying to say that I'm trying to sort through my own conditioning, you know?
Okay, absolutely. And I understand that from speaking to many people around the world, that in our seeking pleasure, in many things, not just in the attraction of masculine and feminine, but the attraction of life, what we're actually seeking is ourselves. What we're seeking is the deep, deep pleasure of union inside our experience, inside ourselves. And so when I speak of consciousness appearing as masculine and feminine, you're saying everything is consciousness.
Yes.
Well, to me, man and woman are the guardians of the earth, that if I, this man listening, or I, this woman listening, was not conscious and consciously awake in existence, then there would be no existence. In other words, go unconscious and there's no sense perception. Sense perception only arrives here as our experience of existence when I am conscious of my body and my mind, which is this life. So what I'm saying is we mistake ourselves, we make the mistake of thinking that we are not manifesting this whole creation as our lives, but we are. We're responsible for what takes place on the earth. We just believe we're not.
But it's not us as a limited personality. It's us in a really big sense of who we really are. That's the confusion.
Yeah, the confusion is that the entire universe and our experience of the Earth is a living reality. And so the Earth and all its wonders, the oceans, the sky, the mountains, the flowers, nature, is already an expression that takes place the instant that I open my eyes. So I'm pointing towards the fact that as soon as I become conscious, existence happens. It only happens, existence, when I am conscious, when I wake up in the morning.
Right, but the general population is so conditioned and brainwashed that they actually don't even see what they've manifested.
That's why I'm speaking to you, and that's why I constantly walk the globe, just speaking of my direct experience of what we are as men and women, that we have to discover that we are responsible for what is manifest, and we have the potential of manifesting in consciousness a beautiful, creative life of bliss and joy. It's there, it's our actual nature, but we cover it over with this idea that we're the body-mind identity. We're the thoughts, we're the feelings, but we're the consciousness behind that. So I'm endeavoring to point towards that.
And it's such a, I would say, sort of conspiracy to cover this thing over. It's so massive and so, insidious in every aspect of the world we encounter. It's all so covered over.
Yes, because that makes us, as it were, irresponsible.
Yeah.
And then we can blame and complain, thinking that we are victim of circumstances, but actually we're a victim of our lack of knowledge of who we are in the deep.
But there was a moment where you woke up out of it. Do you want to talk? You were like everyone else, I guess, and then somehow you saw something.
Well, for me, Alan, this has been happening since I can remember as a young child, but now, within my late teens and certainly in my mid-20s, I was realizing more directly that I am the consciousness that is creating this life. And when I say I don't mean Bernie Pryor. I mean that I in everybody.
Right.
I am that. I experience that directly, that I am everything that this is. And I know that might sound crazy to a few listeners, but actually, everyone is the same. I just woke out of it. When I was 19, I experienced directly beyond this body. And within this body, I experienced, this is very hard to put, I experienced that everyone walking in existence, I was just sitting in a high street when I disappeared, and as I, my perception of this life disappeared, and I experienced this great love inside of myself. And then when I came conscious of the world and form, I had this direct knowing that everyone walking in a felt way, everyone walking is the same I in my body as it is in theirs, and there was this direct connectedness that took place.
I get that too. I totally have a sense of that. I don't have a ongoing experience of it, but when you talk about it, I totally get that. That is absolutely true.
Yes, because you're that too.
Yeah,
and
so
we're in here really to make that directly conscious in our own experience.
Yeah, I forget it. I mean, perhaps you don't, and I get caught up in the dramas and the identity of the illusion. And but when I say it, when I listen to people like you and others who have woken up to that, it's like, yeah, of course. I mean, how?
Yeah.
So what do I need to do, and maybe people listening, to keep reminding themselves that they are that I?
Well, it's really to completely, first off, truly see that you are not the body, mind, identity, all the thoughts, all the feelings. It's very clear that you are. If you listen to those words, you are. You just are. And then added on to that awareness, we put this linear identity. But we're quite capable of living in a linear identity. That's our, let's say, that's our personal identity, but to understand the personal identity grows according to how we live a life of more awareness, more truth and more love in our own way. Not a particular way, but in our own way.
But is there then a reason that we all are these separate beings anyway?
But that to me is the illusion. The illusion is that the one is now appearing as multiplicity.
Right.
And it's for us to awaken out of that, to realize that I in this body is the same in any body. And really, this is the growth or the evolution of our intelligence, is that at some point or other, this is the mystery, some point or other, our intelligence evolved enough to begin to understand that, to begin to understand through all our ups and downs, and it's a natural process. Who knows when it's actually going to take place for the individual. Through all our ups and downs, something in us, in the deep, suddenly reminds us of our true nature, and then we begin to wake up.
Right, and see that it was all an illusion then. So this male and female difference, it seems to really be somehow essential to what you've tapped into. I mean, even though it's consciousness,
There's
somehow a different aspect to the male form than is to the female form. Can you just talk
about
that?
I'll speak about that, yeah. Essentially what I'm saying here is the self or the one has seemingly split into two.
Uh-huh.
But that two is the illusory part in that the one is always the one, even if it's in a female body or a masculine body. But for the purpose of creation, it's split into polarity for this to actually work, because it takes the masculine and feminine for any sort of creativity to take place. But to begin to clearly see that it is the one at work playing the game of two. So then that then descends, as it were, into form as man and woman. So then our basic attraction is to home, to the deep depth of our pure masculine, our pure feminine, and the pure self within the attraction. So that's the draw. The draw is to unite the feminine and the masculine within the attraction, but within your own body, within your own consciousness. But then there's a miracle that kind of takes place, because as we connect with this inside ourselves, within the attraction, in other words, within our loving, we begin to realize beyond our mind, and this is us beginning to understand what consciousness is, that in our loving together, we actually meet as polarity, but as polarity as consciousness. So beyond the body-mind identity, beyond form. And so then when woman is touched in that place, and when man touches her from his place in that place, there's a mystical union that occurs beyond the bodies and the mind, but that dances in existence as a life of union.
So we are these archetypal principles, if you want to call it that, these essences that have taken a form.
Yeah.
And we have to, but so it's like you're saying, we have to find that deep masculine, deep feminine within ourselves.
But you see, that's your interpretation.
Yeah.
So just to be clear on this.
Yeah, yeah, I'm trying to see it the way you
I'm
see it.
I'm not saying we have to.
Right.
What I'm saying is the realization is that's what I already am. I am already the complete masculine. I'm already the complete feminine. I'm already complete in my eternal essence. But then the draw is in existence as man and woman. Is to reach that in my activity in everyday, ordinary life, and certainly within the attraction of man and woman, because that's a deep place within our psyche that's drawing us in the first instance to even be together and even to create in the world. It's the draw for all of us to manifest in our lives a reflection of what we ultimately are in a deeper place. Now, I know that's unconscious, but that's the whole evolutionary purpose of life that's taking taking place behind what we do, that's its draw, and then it suddenly wakes up in us.
And what you said tonight, which was really beautiful, is that when we do reenact those principles in form, we are creating the form of the universe, the action of the universe in creation.
That's what is revealed to us, is that when we are true, when we are true to the deepest place within ourselves, in any action, but certainly within the action of loving each other as man and woman, then we are in line with that totality that creates our entire universe, and we literally become creators of our own universe.
But so the practical aspect then is well, like you said, dropping for the man to drop into a stillness, to drop into their presence.
That's right.
And what else would you say that for a man to, you know, to find that parts of themselves, that part of themselves?
Okay. Well, again, in the perspective and in the context of the masculine and feminine attraction, I say that man is mind and woman is love. So he's mind in terms of truth, in the deepest place. And so when he's got a very busy, busy mind, and it's totally me-orientated, in other words, egoically orientated, he's not refined his ego as yet enough, which life will bring him eventually to refine it.
Mm-hmm.
Then his mind is so busy in self-concern and what he can get from life, he actually misses the very essence of what life is as love, essence of what life is as pure creativity. And so when a man begins to see this more clearly, he sees his attraction as the same in seeing the attraction of him living a life of pure creativity and love with the earth. So he begins to see that woman is the embodiment of this love.
Mm.
So in the same way as he becomes more real to his innermost, he becomes stiller and stiller, and that creates more presence, a vibration of deep, deep presence in himself. And so he becomes very, very clear. His mind begins to be clearer. And he sees his direction so much more profoundly and experiences it directly as a deeper peace and a deeper knowing of what he is and what he is doing in his life.
And for women, what can they do to activate that pure feminine aspect?
Then in the same way, certainly in the reflection of the masculine, if the masculine is really seeing her beauty, not just as her bodily beauty, but a beauty beyond description, often when man's really drawn to the feminine and real love happens, then he sees her beauty, although her body is beautiful to him, he sees that's just that is a beautiful reflection, but it's a reflection of an eternal beauty that she is and that she's now embodying. So in this, she begins to see that she's not this problematic, emotional woman who's hell-bent on, I don't know, pushing, telling a man what to do or closing down her heart because she thinks she's not beautiful. She begins to see that actually, and truly, she is the embodiment of love. She's just covered that over with pain and covered that over with self-concern, just like he's done to himself. So she begins to truly begin to see that she is love. She is that, and begins to live a life of love. And in their play together, in their true play of loving truth, more than they love each other, then that enlivens them. Do you see, if we don't have a real purpose in our loving, then we just love egoically, and we all know that ends up in suffering.
What would be a purpose in loving, then?
What would be the purpose in loving?
Yeah, well,
to embody more love, to embody more conscious love, because love being a frequency of not only bliss, but of joy, but of pure creativity, then we would be very creative but loving beings.
Right.
We wouldn't create a world with so much separation. we'd actually see beyond the separation, and everything that we would create, we would know would be for all.
But how you're talking about men and women, it seems like, why then seek out a specific woman or man? You know, everyone is essence the same.
Yes, I can hear that. And again, it just depends on where one sits, where one views life from. From where I view life from, I see it's the will, truly, the divine will that puts man and woman together. Mm. And if we don't allow that happen to naturally, then we pick and choose from our egoity, and we pick and choose from our personal wants and needs, and that always causes more suffering. But when we allow life to unfold naturally, then love begins to happen between man and woman in an entirely different way. It's our picking and choosing, Alan, I'm trying to demonstrate here, that causes us all so much suffering.
Right, and I'm really tired of it myself in my own personal
yeah.
life, because it's been such a desperate act, and it obviously hasn't worked.
Yeah.
That I think you're telling me there's another way.
Well, I'm actually saying as you begin to see as man and woman more, that all the projections of the thoughts and the projections of the neediness is actually a projection of patterned energy within our psyches, and it doesn't belong to a particular person. It's global distortion within the psyche.
Mm.
That as we begin to not function from that, not listen to that, and not give it form, it begins to transform. Now, a lot of people that they can't do this, as it were, in that when we really begin to be true, something appears to be dying in us.
Dying in the sense of ego death.
Yeah, in the sense of there's a feeling and a fear begins to arise, like that something's dying and something's wrong. But all that's taking place is, instead of us as man and woman, our intelligence no longer is reflecting off the patterning in the mind.
Mm.
It's reflecting off something much more finer and much more profound. But parts of us, you could call it the shadow, still reflect off of that place. So we begin to have to truly trust something deeper than what our mind and emotions display to us. We have to begin to trust our deepest knowing. So this is a real change in somebody's consciousness, you know, to take that brave step not to listen to conditioning anymore, because a certain death will begin to take place. And it's having the love, I suppose, to go beyond that and not listen to any of those movements within us at those times, and clearly, as it were, hold on to our deepest knowingness of our true nature.
Well, it's death if you're really, really identified with the ego as an identity. Then and it can be seen as death, and it is by most people. But and on the other hand, it also can be sensed as life, because that's really what you're saying. It's life starts to live you.
Yeah, well, I'm not quite understanding what context you're speaking of. Because
well, this thing that's dying is just the identification with who we think we are. And what's really happening is life itself is starting to live through us.
Well, we are life. That's the point. The point is we are that life, and we're beginning to dust off the covers and be more real with ourselves.
Yeah, I'm saying that's life. So, I mean, in a sense, it's death, but it's also life. That's what I'm
saying. Absolutely, yeah, because as we're more true to ourselves and more true to what life is revealing in the moment, then we there's a death, that's the death of the old, but then instantly there's more life because there's more energy available.
Right. So
let's just say in the way of the attraction, and man and woman might get upset with each other. There's some kind of mental or emotional movement, some argument, and they are true to their love of the source, and they look more clearly, they will begin to see that, that what's moving through them is past patterning. And it has nothing to do with what's going on now. And if it has anything that's mirroring an action of the man or an action of the woman, to surrender that to the love of seeing that very clearly. And that's what transforms.
Well, you need two people who really are dedicated to that truth.
Yeah.
And that will keep building a depth within.
Yeah, a higher purpose, a deeper potential than probably anybody ever experienced before in their lives. That they are fed up with having such a shallow experience within their attraction and all the pain and the torment that that causes.
Well,
they're
calling
for a deeper union. Now that takes a great deal of honesty.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking for that in my life, and I'm looking for that, you know, it happened, but now I think I'm ready for a deeper level of that truth. And
that
I mean, like
you're ready for a deeper level of yourself, too.
Yeah, that's true. And what you said also this evening at the talk was that either your patterns come up or the unknown comes up. I forgot
that's
how
right.
You said, but can you say that again, because I really got that.
Well, life or consciousness is constantly flowing and moving. And so we do know the difference between a pattern arising and coming through and us identifying with it and, let's say, reacting through it. We know that. We can drop that one by now. We've had enough experience.
Right.
And we certainly would know when the profound place of our true being arose in our life. It's unmistakable when that happens.
Mm.
Unmistakable.
And so, when that, but that's what we do want all that, but most people are afraid to embrace that because that's the unknown.
Well, that's it. You see, now you've got to the very core of human suffering, is that until we're ready for this individually, let alone collectively, most of us love to hold on to ego, body, mind, identity as a sense of control because we believe we can control our circumstances. But the person or the me that believes that is under an illusion because that person itself, the me, is the illusion.
Right.
Do you see what I mean?
I totally see what you mean. I don't know how quite to get there, but I see what
well,
you
mean. Well, let me put it this way. You can see, as everyone can see, that to try to control circumstances as your mind is nigh on impossible. You can't control circumstances because everything just happens. So we have to begin to learn to love what is. We have to begin to learn to truly love what is. And why is that? Well, because what is the eternal moment, is the eternal expression. And that expression is coming from what we are in the deepest place. So we jump over, we make this connection away from our egoic linear identity into the profundity of what we are as being.
It's so refreshing to hear you say it because then I get it and then I slip back into the ego mind. I get it, I get the glimpses.
Yeah.
And then...
You have to keep that awareness open. It kind of has to sing in every breath and sing in every step that you're being alert and aware in your entire life as to your true nature. And you're not falling for it, at least less and less, the old patterns that used to grip you and spin you around in your own activity and within the attraction.
Right.
You're clearly seeing a deeper purpose within the attraction than what you once had.
Yeah, I am, because first of all, it didn't work. It wasn't satisfying. It wasn't fulfilling on any level.
No, because it still moves your personal mind.
Yeah.
And to really be fulfilled on the level of that attraction in a very full conscious way is that we have to give up this idea that this love between the man and the woman is for a me, my own self. It's not. There is no me. That's the illusion. We believe there is, but that's just a mindset. There is really only I consciousness listening now, who is the masculine and the feminine in display or in expression is creativity.
So even the mother's love for the child, in a sense, is for existence itself.
Absolutely. Everything is to give the potential of consciousness directly experience itself in the mirror or reflection of our life, our creativity. It's consciousness seeking itself. It needs a mirror to know itself.
But the mother doesn't even know that, but the part of her that's the archetypal mother does know that.
That's right, and you've got it, because now you're really speaking of what this intelligence begins to know and understand, that every one of us has a deeper experience of what man is as a masculine and as being, and a deeper experience of what woman is, and the woman is as the feminine, as being. It just keeps endlessly going deeper. So when we give up the shallow, and we literally drop it, surrender it, we begin to move into a very clear and new place. So then we're learning very fast that to attach to experience as something that must or mustn't happen for me is what's causing us our pain mentally and emotionally. We have to learn to be present and fully giving in the present moment. Then we transcend the old patterns and we begin to experience very clearly a deeper place within ourselves, and it begins to appear as our life.
So let me just get that entry. So fully giving in each moment our totality of who we are.
And dropping whenever the mind, whenever in mind arises the thought of a me who's getting something or doing something, you have to drop that. Dropping it doesn't mean it won't still be in your mind and you won't feel it. It means in your knowingness. You're clearly beginning to know that is not what you are. That thought, that feeling, that there's a me doing this.
But, you know, you have to feed your body, you have to, you feed your...
But you'll do it with far more intelligence and certainly a lot more passion and love.
But it's me feeding me because I'm hungry. I'm just looking at the little...
What I'm expressing here, great question.
Yeah.
But what you begin to see that life is intelligence, and life just does it all very naturally. Feeds the body, feeds everything. You know, everything is, as it were, looked after.
So I am getting it. It's sort of like the miracle of love is the fact that we can witness life taking care of itself.
That's it. And I listening am that life taking care of itself, appearing in every body and every blade of grass and in everything that I could possibly ever experience.
So it is truly the miracle of consciousness that it can observe life being itself in form.
You see, now you're really getting it.
Yeah.
Because from that understanding, you begin to see that the more you give to your life in love and in truth, the more you understand in a deeper way who you are as this consciousness, as this being, and you actually begin to live from that place. And that transforms our existent life.
Yes, it's true. I get like chills in my body when I think that I am that.
That's the connection. You're making the universal connection with your universal energy, your pure consciousness. That's pure consciousness meeting itself as is consciousness in body-mind activity, and it begins to make it pure. That then turns us into real human beings. Real, our identities then begin to give, we begin to give it true form.
And it's as if we're sort of separating from life or the illusion of the life that we've lived in order to step back and be consciousness observing the life we are.
Eventually, it's not just an observation because the observer disappears.
Uh-huh.
It's the realization that I am the totality and that I am this play of life. And so we begin to see that clearly we're not victims of some life separate from ourselves.
Yeah.
We are creators of that life, and we are that life. So now coming to the earth will come a different consciousness that draws from deep within to manifest that unknown in front of our very eyes in sense perception.
Mm. Wait, say that last line again, because...
Well, whilst we... I'll say that slightly differently.
Yeah.
Whilst we keep reflecting off of past and future, all the future really is a rehash of our past hopes or the avoidance of past pain in the future. So it's just another circle.
Uh-huh.
When we begin to see that, we actually very naturally move into a deeper place, into the unknown.
Uh-huh.
Or in the deep, we are the unknowable.
Uh-huh.
Then the unknowable pure energy begins to arise as us, as each individual, and as the expression of life.
As the adventure of life yet unknown, yet to be known, which is the...
No, you'll never know it. You'll only... Listen,
yeah.
The beauty is that you can't know God or the Source because there's nothing to know. But in reflection, we directly experience the wonder of life, the majesty of life, the awesomeness of life, and that's its reflection of its unknowability, and it's forever new. So when we stop looking through our past eyes, then the rising of the sun each and every morning is an absolutely brand new event because we've cleaned our eyes, we've cleaned our perception.
Yeah, I was really getting it there, and you know, it's really funny. As I was getting it, there was this crazy lady screaming in the street, which was probably a manifestation of my mind, right?
Oh. She could be screaming, "I'm getting it! I'm getting it too!" Who knows?
Yeah, or
it
maybe
could it could be the idea of your old lady inside leaving you. Your idea of the old creation is leaving you.
Yeah, it was something like that. It was sort of a distraction for a sense, but it made me also focus more on what you were saying.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know it's an ongoing process, and you've just and it's. It is a life's work, really.
It's what we're here for, but not... I would like to rephrase ongoing process, that there is a kind of a process until the process ends when you meet the deepest place within yourself, then it's just a natural unfoldment of the mystery. It just naturally takes place.
And that's what it's for you, in a sense, right?
It's what, sorry?
Is that how you are living?
Just letting my life unfold. I don't do anything other than let it unfold. And my innermost movement of my being, as it were, I just follow its inspiration. And I endeavor to manifest that inspiration. And this is the manifestation of my inspiration, for I'm talking to you.
Now, does anything, I mean, how do you know when the personal thing would come up for you?
For me directly or for anybody?
Yeah, no, for you as a ego identity. I mean,
only honesty would reveal, only that your love of the Source, and only honesty would reveal that what's moving through now has anything to do with your actions, or is simply a pattern moving through that belongs to nobody in particular? Only honesty would reveal that.
So the honesty will tell you, it's your pattern. I mean, do you ever catch yourself in patterns?
I very rarely catch myself in patterns. And then if I do catch myself in a pattern, I own up to it.
Uh-huh.
I just owned up to a pattern that I caught myself in with my partner yesterday on an email. I wrote her and said, "My love, what you said to me the other day, I didn't see. And then until I put the phone down and then I saw it, and I said, thank you for reflecting to me what I did not see, for that's what our love is, to reflect to us our great love of revealing who we are."
Mm.
That's what I wrote to her.
Mm. Thank you. Thanks for sharing all of that, I mean, and being vulnerable in that place to share it, because
that's what it takes. It takes vulnerability in the realization. If we're not absolutely honest, then that tenderest of love that we know is available, and that thrilling life experience is only available through the freshness of us being true.
Right. So it has to, that's the place to begin. That
right now is the place to begin. There's no other place to begin.
Yeah.
Being fresh now. Mm. And if it were not beating yourself up when you still mistake a pattern to be you, anger, jealousy, or whatever, but begin to clearly see anything that's arising, begin to clearly see it without pushing it away because you don't want it to belong. You don't want it to belong to you. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
It's you owning up.
Well, maybe we should do a series of interviews, Bernie.
I'd love that, Alan. Yeah.
No, because I really got something from this, and when I get it, it's sort of like the world sort of lights up. There's a change that happens.
Yes, because even for two people to have a conversation like this, and even the listeners to listen into this, we would all have to go down into a deeper place beyond our holding on. So we actually begin to descend into a place of reality. And the deeper we go, the more we begin to understand without any effort.
And then don't you think there's a sort of effect, a kind of a vibratory effect from that for the world around?
Oh, completely, especially in our own world, in terms of when we've gone down that far, depending on how deep we go, then we feel that the aliveness of that, and that will move something on the surface, maybe. And unless we're clear that we want the truth more than we want to control, that on the surface might not be to our old way of being real. We might not want that to go, so we would hold on to it, and that would cause us to suffer. So it's clearly to see, as you go in the deep, then the surface will change. Are you ready to let go of the surface?
Well, I think a lot of people are because they're tired of the surface. They see that the limitations that it has only gotten them so far.
But we know, Alan, all of us listening, how many times have we in this life said this? But when the past is on us, how many times have we yielded to its pressure instead of yielded to our deepest knowing?
So what do you suggest then? How do we yield to the knowing?
Be in love with your deepest knowing more than you're in love with yourself.
So be in love with the unknown more than you're in love with your patterns of behavior.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is you're still going to have to... I'm just going to rephrase this.
Yeah, because I want to get it.
Yeah, absolutely, and I want to get it too. You know,
okay.
I'm getting it too. It's always new for me.
Okay.
It just comes up. Is that to truly be free, we have to see there is no me, really, even though the me keeps showing up. Okay? So that means we have to have a greater love and a greater purpose in our life. So then it's a willingness to, you could call this almost a practice or a remembering, to say to yourself in any moment, what is your deepest knowingness of this moment? What is your deepest knowingness in any situation? What is it? And then follow what that says, but it has to be your deepest knowingness.
When you say deepest knowing, is there another way you can say, because I don't quite...
Okay, well, some people will say, this is my truth, and I'm asking people to go beyond my truth, because then really there's only one truth, but it's so deep.
Yeah.
It doesn't split itself up. So, like I said this evening at the talk you were at, everyone knows, truly, if they would just take 1 second to look, everyone knows what the truth of the moment is, and if we're having the moment for ourselves, or if we're in that place where there's just this moment unfolding. So we all know whether we're moving energy, as it were, to get some kind of thing from this moment, and that's no longer real.
Right.
So
that's what we have to drop in.
We have to drop this pretense that we don't know what we're doing in the deep, in the subconscious. Mm. We have to take So we have to take hold of this life and take responsibility for it from a place of our deepest knowingness. So we know when we're being true, and we know when we're being unreal. But we have to look deeper. So that takes a great deal more stillness and presence to be able to do that. And that is a greater love that begins to arise as we begin to see, yeah, I can't live this old way anymore. I really want to live from a deeper place.
It takes dedication, and it also only can be done in the moment. You can't project into a future or a past and expect that it can be done from that place.
Then from what you've just said,
yeah.
I'll show you what you've actually said, if I may.
Yeah, please.
And that is, if it can't be done, then we can't do it in terms of something that is linear. When we rest in the moment with what is, we begin to see clearly that all that really is here is beauty and wonder, and be so grateful for this moment, it begins to reveal to us that there is only this moment, a vast, vast moment that seems to be expressing over millennia, but really it's one big expression that's taking place. And we begin to rest in our hearts and let life unfold.
Thank you, Bernie. Thank you. And we are part, and we are it. Which is the beauty and the miracle of being in it.
That's it. And from that is the power to surrender, as it were, our ambiguity, to surrender our weakness in terms of not being fully who we are, not being fully present, not giving to the moment, giving to life as we could. Begin to wake up.
Thank you for the talking on the show today.
Thank you for allowing me to speak to you and your listeners, Alan.
Yeah, this will be available as a podcast as well. And I also give your website, which is www.berniepryor, that's berniepryor.org. And Bernie will be in New York this week, the September 19th to the 26th, 2007. And if you have any questions, you can email Bernie or Bernie's people at usabernipryor.org, or you can email me, Alan Steinfeld, at newrealities@earthlink.net.
But may I just say, Alan, that
yes.
to bring a greater understanding to this, that we've actually arranged a 3-day retreat in the Catskill Mountains at the end of this tour, and people can go online and find out all about that.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like a great experience to do. 3 days where you, I would say, facilitate people to drop into this place we've been talking about.
Absolutely, through their own life experience.
Through their own life experience. What is that? What do you mean?
Well, everybody comes from a different life experience, although we're in the one life. So in the retreat, I begin to reflect to people where they are at in their life and the potential to open that up in a very deep and profound way. That's what I point towards. So they can come and they can reflect with me, and we can reflect together. And over this weekend, we will also be using a little tool that came to me after realization, which I call the Form, Love and Truth in Reflection. And it's a simple little tool that I'm teaching in workshops around the world over 8 to 12 days, that shows them directly as what we've been speaking of, and how they can share that energy, that frequency, with another. Other than explaining that, the people will have to have a look on the website, or come to a day which we're having.
On September, what is that, 24th? No, the 3rd, September 23rd is the whole day. Demonstration of the form.
Yeah.
And is
but
that
it,
like
it's
a...
something that I can't explain. It's more explained in the direct experience of it, but gives you a tool to use to help you become deeper, more present, and more alive, and clearly begin to see the pattern more clearly, therefore see yourself more clearly.
Is that like a moving form, you would
it's
say?
It's a moving form that you can share with another, but it's also a demonstration how consciousness, as man and woman, is already in this moving form, this dance. It demonstrates in a reflective way how we use the form with our partner, how that's happening globally around the world, that the stiller we become and the deeper that we respond to life from a deeper place, then our movements actually generate a finer energy that begins to clear us.
Our actual movements, our actual physical...
Our whole activity in life. Life is an activity.
Huh. That's great. I mean, I'm very much looking forward to experiencing that.
Come for a taste. People will really be astounded how it can really help them move on.
Great. No, we'll do more. I'll report on it too after I experience it.
Great.
So
good to have you there.
The retreat is September 28th to the 30th in the Catskill Mountains. Check on BerniePryor.org.
And within that, I'll also be entwining the truth of man and woman together in partnership. It's kind of we've mixed that with the form, and also speak about who we actually are as consciousness, as the self.
Now, just one last: do you find people are waking, are actually having experience of awakening to that?
Oh, more and more. I mean, just this year alone, I've visited at least 12 countries around the world.
Huh.
And more people are beginning to realize more of the truth of their own being, but they're in the process of embodying that. That's what's actually taking place. And that kind of comes in stages.
Huh.
As we realize deeper, but then there's the living of it.
Huh.
It's got to be lived, and that integrates it.
Yeah, and that's also where we get to be tested, I suppose, right?
Well, you could call it a test, but it's just a natural evolution of our consciousness, of our intelligence. That's what it is. It's very natural. Mm. But you could call it a test, but then in the deepest place, who is there to test?
Right. I get that. And it's just us unfolding into more of who we are.
That's it. The potential there... Mm. It is to embody more of who we are in the way that we relate to all things and relate to ourselves and what we manifest.
Right, and calling it a test, I'm talking about it from the ego side.
That's
of
it.
Perspective,
yeah.
And I see what you're saying.
Yeah, and where really it's an invitation from ourselves.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to spending more time.
Thank you. Do come along.
Thanks, Bernie.
Thanks very much for giving me this opportunity.
Oh, yeah, I got a lot, and I think people listening, I hope, will get something. And if anyone has any comments, they can email me about this dialogue at newrealities@earthlink.net.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I'm just going to end with this Van Morrison song, Into the Mystic. You know that one?
I don't, actually.
Well, let me in here. I'll play that for you. And then I'll just say, this has been New Realities on BBS Radio, and you can listen every week at the same time. It's generally 8:30 p.m. West Coast time or 10:30 p.m. East Coast time. Thank you for listening, and this is Van Morrison, Into the Mystic.
Cry, smell the sea and soul and spirit fly into the mystic. Where that foghorn blows, I will be coming home. Yeah, when the foghorn blows, I wanna hear it. I don't have to fear it.
Hi, this is Niles McClower for the new show, Why Life Is, right here on Friday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Now on BBS Radio, Why Life Is answers a vast number of questions and explores the demystifying of metaphysics and spirituality. Just a fraction of what we will cover are such subjects as detailed explanations of the afterlife, what the meaning of life is, and what intelligent life is like in other worlds. This is a show many of you have been waiting for to hear and participate in as well. Why Life Is has been on the air broadcasting for nearly 3 years and is now available on BBS Radio in prime time on Friday nights at 7 p.m.